Welcome in, wrong side of the pond. He is DJ Schweitzer. I am Jeremy Lance. It's back.
Yeah.
It is upon us. Another season. You excited?
No, I'm not.
What?
Saying I'm not excited is wrong. I'm looking forward to the Premier League being back. I think we all are. But this is the same feeling, and it happens so infrequently, but it's the same feeling I have every year after a World Cup has left us. The Premier League comes back so quickly. I'm not quite ready for it yet. Like, I just spent a whole month watching copious amounts of soccer, and I love it. It's great.
Sounds good.
It's great.
I enjoyed it.
But it's also, like, there's so much to watch. You're kind of, like, hooked up to a fire hose, right? And you're getting blasted with soccer. And I feel like I've got a little bit of a hangover for it. And, you know, all the storylines are compressed into this tight little window. You know, we've seen this giant wave of transfers. It's unfolded.
Yeah.
It's all just kind of exhausting. And the Premier League's going to be on us, and all this stuff is going to tick on for another month still. And it's just the World Cup just always throws off the whole schedule for a year, I feel like.
So you're
I'm not looking forward to it. But I just don't feel like we've gotten a break.
But like when Saturday morning rolls around.
I mean, I'm going to be.
I mean, you'll be pretty juiced, right?
I'll be ear to ear watching the very first game until I can no longer watch games. I mean, I'll be doing it still. Nothing's really changed in that respect.
Okay.
I just don't. Maybe saying that I'm not excited is the wrong way of putting it.
You're not as like. It's not just.
I'm not just like falling out of my chair. Like,
hanging out in the desert, and I'm just so thirsty for some soccer.
Yeah, I feel like I've kind of taken a little bit of break.
Yeah.
Needed it, and we didn't get the long layoff that we had this summer.
No, we didn't.
I said this to you when you first got here tonight. I was looking back through our notes from the first episode from season 5, and noticed that we had like a whole segment that was devoted to like, hey, what did you do this summer? Because it had been a minute since
we hadn't seen
you
in a while.
It's been like
summer?
A month or two since we'd seen each other. And this summer it's like, oh shit, I just saw Jeremy.
Yeah, we podcasted what, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was the World Cup final special. So yeah. Here we are again, gathered back on the couch, bringing you some more soccer talk. But this is one of the most fun episodes of the year to record.
This is my favorite.
For two reasons. One, because
it's back.
Like a year, this is all going to look like total garbage and baloney.
Yeah, in May when we reconvene on these predictions in May.
Yeah. And then the other side of it is we didn't have to do a whole lot of work for this one.
No.
Because there's not a whole lot to analyze outside of player moves and things of that nature. So, like you said, we're going to be doing predictions as we do every year. This is the sixth time, of course, that we'll be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's more amazing. If there's anything I'm excited about, it's the fact that
season 6.
We've been doing this for 6 years now.
So the first season we did, to give people an idea of how long ago it was, the Community Shield match that day featured David Moyes as the manager of Manchester United versus, I think, was it Wigan?
It was Wigan, yeah. We had just seen Wigan here in Ohio.
Right, and so Wigan was actually a championship side because they got relegated, won the FA Cup.
Yeah.
So they were in Europa and the second division. Spoiler alert, didn't go well for them.
No, it went really poorly for them, in fact. Who was the man guiding them at that point? It was
Owen Coyle. Remember, we had to hang out
former
with
former Houston Dynamo manager, Owen Coyle.
That also, spoiler alert, didn't go well.
It did not go well either. But yeah, that was a very good idea as to how long ago that actually was. David Moyes' disastrous, 9 month tenure at Manchester United?
That was literally the height of his career right there.
Yeah.
He had just been appointed. Handpicked. Handpicked by Sir Alex.
Yeah.
Because you are the man that will lead my club. I'm heading up to the director's box up here.
Yeah.
You, other Scottish guy.
Person, yeah.
You do this.
It maybe reveals a little bit of Scottish bias in old Sir Alex.
Yeah.
But
it worked out.
But yeah,
horribly.
You know, 6 years on, here we are. Another Community Shield transpiring this weekend.
Uh-huh.
I'll be honest, I didn't even watch it.
Nor did I.
It was literally...
And my team was involved.
Nothing appetizing about it at all. And that's sad because you literally had a team involved in it and just...
I did what I did last year. I was like, hey, Community Shield, all right. And then when we lost, I was like, ah, screw the Community Shield.
Yeah.
I think I tweeted out that the Community Shield is a social construct.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
And therefore, I don't have to abide by it.
We talked about this last year. It only matters for the team who wins it.
Right. It's like, oh, hey, what a good start to the season.
But if your team loses it,
you're we won this thing. We won this match where we get a silverware at the end, albeit it's a match where we're allowed to sub like 100 times.
Yeah. If you're not restricted to 3/4 subs, depending on how you want to look at things, it shouldn't be something that counts in your trophy haul for the season. But here we are again. We're not here to predict or talk about that match simply because it's already in the past. But
it's already happened.
We're here to give you...
I predict a 2-0 win for City.
Yeah, I went all right.
Aguero brace.
An expected result, I would probably say, on that front. But let's get into our Premier League predictions because this
Hold on.
Wait, what?
We gotta pump... We got to pump the fantasy, folks. Oh, we need you to come play.
Maybe this is the best part about this
episode. Play fantasy with us.
That I don't have to reveal how poorly I'm managing my fantasy team.
Right.
The Fantasy League is back once again as well.
We invite you to come and throttle us in fantasy.
If you want to outdo a pundit, if that's what we're considered these days.
You're going to do it.
You're going to do it. So sign up. I'm not going to read out the code here. In years past, I've read out the code. That just seems like a fruitless effort. I go into my timeline. I'm not tweeting a whole lot these days, so it doesn't. You don't have to go very far back to find the actual.
What are you, like, busy or something?
Stuff's going on.
Whatever.
Yeah. But you can find it on my social feed. I know Jeremy's retweeted it. We'll push it out a couple more times this week.
I actually saw it. I think it auto sets up for me. I don't know. I got to go in.
Yeah. So. It's definitely something that we should do. But it is back. Once again, there is no prize for winning it other than just knowing that you're better at it than we are. And you can just brag to your friends like, hey, I won that league. You know, it's just another league. You can count up just like your, Community Shield count.
Yeah. It means
let our league be your Community Shield.
Perfect.
Yeah. It sounds perfect as well. Let's get into those predictions.
All right.
Do we want to do a rundown of what the predictions are for those of you who have not listened to this before?
Right. Here so are the predictions. For those of you keeping score at home, we do top four.
Yep.
When we rank them.
Mm-hmm.
So who's winning? Who's getting second? Who's getting third? And who has to play that extra awkward Champions League
game? No, they don't have to do that anymore.
Oh, okay. Whatever. Yeah. So who doesn't have to play that extra awkward Champions League
game? Yep, that's right.
But who gets that Champions League by the skin of their teeth?
Yep.
And then we predict the three teams that we will be bidding farewell to at the end of the
season.
That's
right. In no particular order, by
off
the way.
To ESPN Plus with you.
Yeah, that's right.
And then we pick one team that is – we do a dark horse pick. But it's not like, oh, hey, they're going to do a Leicester City.
No. Someone that's going to perform better than
expectations.
Right,
it's going to have like a really good season that is not one of like the top six.
Yeah.
Or Everton.
Yeah.
I
got really close to picking Everton and then remembered that we really can't pick Everton.
I mean, I guess they could be a dark horse after the shocker that they had last year.
I suppose that's probably true. Dark horse is not a Leicester because, let's be real, the likelihood of that happening anytime again soon is so small. But,
And then we do the sack race.
Mm-hmm.
Always fun.
It's one of the best ones.
Golden Boot, Manager of the Year.
Yeah.
Any other ones? Those are the only ones.
Those are the only ones we've got.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Sweet.
These are the same predictions we've made every year, by the way.
Yeah.
So, if you want to have a history of how bad we are at this, go listen to the last episode of every year.
Where we spell out how poorly we did.
Yeah. I think we actually did good at this first one, though. Last year. We did okay with it.
You more than, than me.
I might have gotten 3 of them, I think.
I feel like I've done better at the relegation. I do better at the negative ones.
Yeah.
I've hit the sack race twice.
Yeah, it's true you have.
And I think I get the relegation. We've done better on the relegation.
Well, I think in years past I've picked a manager that wasn't even managing any longer to win the sack race. So
I think one year you almost picked a guy who wasn't actually even a manager at that time.
Yeah, that's probably true, too. Let's get into those top four picks, though. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start at four or do you want to start at one? We always rock back and forth on this one.
I think it's actually almost more climactic to go one to four.
Okay.
Because it's about, like, hey, who's not going to make it?
Yeah, that's true. All right, well, let's start with that top order.
Because I definitely feel like
we've got the same team at the top.
It's fairly anticlimactic who everyone has for number one. Yeah. It's pretty good money.
Leicester City?
Manchester City.
Okay, I'm glad you clarified that for us. Cardiff City would have been an option this year as well.
They're on a different list.
Imagine Vincent Tan hoisting the Premier League trophy with those leather gloves. Jersey under the blazer.
I mean, I feel like it would be just as much of a sideshow as all the nonsense that happened when Leicester won. Like, that dude rolled out with that painting of a guy. Remember this?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, he had a painting.
And they brought in the opera singer.
The opera singer was singing
a song. Just
because
he's homies with...
And apparently he's also blind.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
It's too much. But you're correct in saying we both picked Manchester City.
Yeah. Which would mean Pep Guardiola gets rare company. Mm-hmm. And he joins Jose and Sir Alex as the only two managers in the Premier League era to go back-to-back.
Yeah. It's kind of wild that that's not happened outside of that.
Yeah.
Then again, Sir Alex won quite a few of those and didn't allow other people the opportunity to do that.
But, yeah. So I have City.
Mm-hmm.
You have City. Second?
This was a tougher pick.
Okay.
And one that pains me.
Okay. Sorry. I'm starting to think we're going to have similar picks here.
I think they could actually push towards the number one this year as well. If everything sorts out the way that they've bought, I think Liverpool.
Yeah.
I think they've got a really good team that they're putting together here.
I as well have Liverpool in the number two spot.
If there's a year that they can make that push, I think this is it.
So let's recap real quickly. They brought in a new keeper.
Mm-hmm. Alisson from Roma.
Yeah. Pip Chelsea on that one.
Yeah.
They brought in Kieta, who they've apparently been almost had signed for like well over a year now.
Mm-hmm.
They brought in Shaqiri.
Yeah, they also brought in Fabinho to provide them warm bodies as they needed at the end of the year in midfield. But also a spot that they've really struggled. And you have to think, too, they've lost some guys along the way as well. Chan has left as well. But they've really strengthened, in all areas of the pitch over the course of the last few seasons. And, you know, while you could have said last year that they had an inconsistent back line, well, now they've got a little bit stronger of one. Their midfield is looking stronger. Their forward line is still loaded up. I think this is the year that if Liverpool are going to make a push for it, this is probably the one that's going to happen.
Yeah. And I think this is kind of going to be Klopp's kind of shining year. I think they're going to actually give City a legit run this mm-hmm. year.
Yes.
Who do you have in the third spot?
So three and four are always, I think, the ones that are the toughest to pick ultimately, just because there are so many talented sides in England right now that figuring out who's going to fit into those spaces is going to be hard. I'm saying this one optimistically as a fan.
Oh, boy.
Which means it's going to blow up my face. I picked Spurs to go third.
Same.
Damn it.
I also have Spurs.
Damn it. We're hoping third. For some diversity here on four.
I was a little leery about Spurs on, mm-hmm. on one part that is – I think City, technically. There's a lot of teams that you could say are going to have this problem. Most of the top six. But I think Spurs especially.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they're the team most prone to have a World Cup hangover.
Oh, definitely. Like, 100%. They had the most teams in the semifinals, or most players, excuse me, in the semifinals of the World Cup. So that means you've got, I think it was seven players.
Mm-hmm.
All first-team regulars who literally were playing soccer up until, 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't make it to the final, you're still playing in the pointless third-place match.
And then have been on hardcore vacation ever since.
Yeah, I mean, literally, like, doing nothing, which is exactly what they need to do. But Spurs doubling the concern there is the fact that they've not made a single signing. In fact, they're the only team that made it into the knockout rounds of the Champions League in Europe that has yet to strengthen with an additional signing this year. And this year is the year that we got the ultimately worrying sign from your manager when he's saying things on your preseason tour to the effect of, we've not had things work out in the transfer market so far, but we've had these guys come in from the academy, and it's practically like new signings. That's things that Arsene Wenger said for years
at
Arsenal. Where you go, geez, that is an uncomfortable thing to
Especially considering Pochettino also at one point said, we're going to be very active in this window.
Yeah. I think a lot of us doubted that that was actually going to be the case.
But at least you'd think it would be like an embellishment and not a flat out lie.
Yeah. So it's really concerning. And I think that's part of the reason why I felt like saying that this is an optimistic pick, especially as a fan, is definitely in the cards. So, looks like we're not it again. Do we have a different pick for four though? Let's find out. The real question.
I think this is going to be a club in turmoil. I think this is going to be a club that's going to have a lot of drama around it. But ultimately, it's a team that is still stacked with a lot of quality. And I have Manchester United.
Damn it. As soon as you started saying the drama, I knew exactly where you were going with this.
Dang it.
And that's exactly the reason why I don't have them higher. I think squad-wise, they're kind of in the same predicament as Spurs. They've not really made any quality additions in any sort of noticeable fashion, but have a lot of talented players within their ranks already. A team also with a lot of players that had to make it late in the tournament as well, but this is the time where Mourinho usually starts to see his slip.
And I feel like we're already getting that. Like, we're already seeing the seeds planted.
Oh, yeah.
He has been groveling in all of his pre-tournament press conference.
Right.
Where he's like, he basically just said, hey, this ICC that we're in is a complete waste of time, complete waste of money. I don't even have 30% of my squad here.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's bringing along, 15, 16-year-olds that are just there to get experience and fill out the meat of the squad.
Just a heck of an endorsement for the ICC.
Well, I mean, look, if there was a year that you shouldn't have wasted your money on ICC money, this was the year. If you paid $80-plus dollars to go watch a major team playing an ICC game, you literally paid to watch their reserves.
Yeah. I had this conversation with one of the guys I work with, who went to a match between two clubs he doesn't even support in Philadelphia.
Fun. Philly's a good town.
Hey, sure.
Yeah.
But probably paid a lot of money. Luckily, it was Bayern Munich and Juve, so like Bayern Munich had most of their guys back thanks to Germany being an utter trash can in the World Cup.
Sometimes it pays for crashing out early.
City and United. I mean, United played like two matches when they first got to the U.S. that almost exclusively featured their youth side.
Yeah. Yeah, very few and far between.
Why? Who's paying for that? Like, why would you want to go see that?
I don't know. There's that story about the guy in New York who lost his ICC ticket, and he was talking about how he was taking his fiance to her very first professional soccer game, and was hoping someone would be able to help him out. It's kind of like, whew, why?
Like, dude, you got two MLS teams there, and they'll actually play their starters.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, an MPSL team that takes themselves pretty seriously as well in that city.
Yeah.
There are options that you can get done without having to give up, an arm and a leg, basically, to catch a couple reserve kids having a runabout.
Yeah. How romantic.
Yeah, it's exactly what you think.
Was he going to pop the question there? I feel like he was planning that out poorly.
Yeah, I think it seems like a really poor attempt for some public PR. So,
that is our choice, our picks for the top four. Now, let's go through some of those teams. Well, I guess the four teams since we picked identically. Let's go through and just kind of hit on stuff real quick here. Manchester City, I think the big question is, To be successful, does Pep Guardiola have to deliver more than just the Premier League title this year?
Yes. Yes, 100%. And not only that, but this is Pep's third year at City.
Right.
You have to remember, Pep very rarely sticks anywhere very long. And 3 years is usually exactly when he calls it quits.
Right.
That's what he did at Barcelona. That's what he did at Bayern Munich as well. This is a
high stakes. What's the situation at PSG right now? Are they going to be needing someone here in about 8 to 10 months?
To me, that doesn't seem like the challenge. If I saw Guardiola go anywhere, it'd be somewhere where he's actually played as well, and that's in Italy. I could see him totally going to a club in Italy that would be looking to make that jump to potentially catch up with Juventus. Although I think if there's a place he would go, he'd probably end up at Juventus just because he tends to only pick teams like that.
Napoli, maybe? I mean, Ancelotti doesn't seem like he's going
to
hang out there too
long. No. I mean, I think it's in all likelihood he would go to somewhere like Juventus.
Okay.
So he'd have the advantage, but he'd be able to build a super squad.
I just don't see Juventus needing to hit the open market for a manager anytime soon.
No, probably not. But it just, could you really see him going to like a broke AC Milan?
No.
No. Could you see him at Inter Milan? It doesn't even feel right to put him in that conversation. But yeah, I think this is a pressure-packed year for Pep.
Take that Parma gig.
Yeah, I'm sure he's eyeing that one heavily. But that's just an element to Pep's life, is that he goes there to achieve things like the Champions League. And you have to remember that he didn't do that at Bayern Munich, despite having what many could have considered the finest team in the world for at least two of those seasons. So I think he has to, if he really wants to cement his legacy as one of these top managers, I think this is the year he has to do it on the side of, the Champions League.
Well, and think the last, two managers that won the title with City were gone shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
The next season they did not live up to the hype.
No.
And were yard pulled to that following offseason.
Yeah. One of those managers is now back in the Premier League, by the way.
Pretty excited about that.
So am I.
Old Jacob Marley.
Yeah.
Liverpool, I think the question, it really comes down to two things. First of all, can Salah shake off what was a fairly forgettable World Cup for him in Egypt?
Injured, by the way.
Yeah, not helping things.
No.
And match his output from last year.
Yeah.
Can he do that?
Check back in bold predictions.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've made a lot of moves. This is kind of the point where you're saying, okay, Klopp, like, there's no more excuses. Like, you've been able to make plenty of signings, make all the moves you need to make. But are they still missing something?
You know, I know.
Are they still light somewhere?
You know, if I had to pick an area of the pitch where Liverpool are maybe a little thin still, it's probably up front. You know, they have Bobby Firmino, who's not your traditional striker.
Right.
And that's fine. It suits their style. He works really well. I think he's a very underrated player. But he also is a particular type of player. And sometimes that just isn't going to work. And they don't really have a change it up, different option to go with up top that really is a mold breaker that can disrupt the way that the other team has set up to break down your game. So, whether Firmino gets hurt or their things aren't going as well as they would expect them to, and they need to make a drastic change, they just don't have that. That said, they have so many tools in their attacking, squad that they're not necessarily in a position where they're lacking for options and they don't create their opportunities for themselves. It's a really tricky task to integrate all these players. I think if there's a concern that they have or should have, it's probably that. Can they get all these guys in and get them all on the same page quickly? And if there's anything we know about Klopp, I think it's that he's probably got a knack for that. So if anyone can do it, I think he's probably one that has the opportunity and the will to do so.
Spurs. I kind of already threw this out here. The England World Cup hangover, which involves a lot of key pieces for Spurs. will that hurt them and how much?
It's hard to say, but Spurs at the end of last season were already looking a little dogged. It's a thin squad. You know, from a depth perspective, Tottenham have a lot of players that had to play a lot of minutes, and Harry Kane
sure.
missed chunks of the season as well, and it's not like he's ever really had any time to fully recuperate. So it's hard to say until we get a little bit into the season, but I think they are one of the teams that are most likely to look a little sluggish and a little heavy-legged at the beginning of the year.
And then we've already addressed the fact there has not been any moves made by this side.
No.
Are there any that you would say need to be made by with this week? Because, spoiler alert, folks, if you didn't read this, changing things up this year in England, the window for them to make incoming moves is this Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the big difference this year. It's something that we've all been calling for, but it's probably the worst year for it to happen.
Right.
Because the window has been so short because of the World Cup. So, look, Tottenham need to make some signings. Like,
is there one area where you'd be like, this needs to be addressed if we're going to be able to make
If I had to make one signing, just one, I would say break the bank on an attacking mid. Someone who can push Eriksen, maybe not like supplant him, but can push him for minutes and give him the necessary break that he needs from time to time. If I could make two signings, it would be that as well as a proper backup striker for Kane. Llorente, for whatever talents he has, isn't someone that's really going to lead the line for you in a way that you might want them to. So, especially in Harry Kane's absence.
Manchester United, simple question.
Mm-hmm.
Will Jose implode? And when will he implode?
Well, he's about due. We all know that Jose's always a ticking time bomb. And there were shades of it last year towards the end of the season. Where he was
Pogba.
Yeah. You know, just a little bit of blame shifting and throwing a couple of his own players under the bus. And he stopped short of going after the rest of the front office and set up within Manchester United, but he kind of hinted at it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, Jose could go at any time, whenever, for whatever. And we've seen him do whatever and whenever, but I don't know. I think, to me, he seems like he wants a trophy with this team in a way that he didn't necessarily want it with other clubs. Like, I think he feels a need to match someone like Sir Alex, who I think he considers himself in the same vein as. And I think, if anything, he'll stick around through the course of the season, provided things don't get too bad, simply for the opportunity.
All right. So let's dive back into the predictions. Let's go with the dark horse pick next. Mm-hmm. So, the team that, again, we're not saying they're going to have a Leicester City 5,000-1 miracle season.
Yeah.
But they're just going to have a season that's going to be very notable, very respectable, and going to have people going like, hey, man, look at the job this team did.
Yeah. I think, you know, if we talk about an easy pick, I think Burnley is one of those ones.
Sure.
But can you really call them a dark horse anymore?
Right, no, because they kind of pulled this off last year. I mean, they are in
before that.
They got a European spot. They're in Europa this year.
Yeah. The other side of that is, too, is that, you know, Burnley, they've established – it's almost like calling Gonzaga a Cinderella these days, right? Like,
yeah.
And, you know, they've just done it so frequently that you can't even put them in that same discussion anymore. So – at this point, I think the team that I'm looking at, and based on their signings, and maybe this is a little bit of a sentimental thing given how many Americans have played there over the years, but Fulham, they just have a knack to them, and they've made some guys, or brought in some guys, that really just have been impressive for a team at their caliber and their level. So I've got Fulham on docket this year.
I also have Fulham.
Damn it. Damn it. Maybe we need to coordinate a little bit before these episodes that we're not all
But I mean, they made some good moves. They brought in Andre Schürrle on loan.
Yeah.
They brought in... they beat out other like top six sides for Jean-Michel Seri.
Yeah.
Like they Chelsea was in the hunt for that.
I mean, Xabi Alonso with Seri, like literally said like he is the successor to my type of playing mold.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Fulham and it's totally him looking at them as a stage to get himself back into contention for a really big club, but he is an absolutely top rate prospect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little crazy that Fulham have gotten their hands on him.
They went and got Fabry, who was the starting keeper for Beşiktaş.
Uh-huh.
So they have a strong keeper who has European Cup experience.
Mm-hmm.
They brought in Alfie Mawson,
yep.
a hot center back prospect that was at Swansea, former chairboy.
Yeah, that's right.
And then they have Sessegnon, and then Tom Kearney is also a fantastic talent that I think is really going to shine this year.
Alexander Mitrovic joined as well, too. So they've tagged on all these great, many of them proven Premier League talents. And those are the type of players you need to be able to make and survive in this league these days. So, if there's a team that I think can do it, and it, clearly you think the same, Fulham might be our dark horse this year.
Let's go bottom three. Now, these are in no particular order. These are just the three teams that will no longer be joining us for the 2019-2020 season.
Yeah. This is also one of the ones that is one of the most hard ones to predict, I think, just because there's so many variables that we don't know yet.
And I mean, we've had, West Brom finally went down. But how many years did we sit there and look at them on paper and go, this team's surely going to go down now?
Yeah.
And they did. They'd find a way by hook or by crook to stay up. That's hard to predict. Who's going to just get those hot runs and just be just good enough to slide by?
Yep. Well, I think one team that is in no way, shape, or form in a position to do that, Cardiff City.
This is going to be our worst prediction show ever.
Yeah, where we just...
I also have Cardiff.
Ah, God. And I even have them down for 20th. I actually put that next to their name.
They are my lead pipe lock of, there's no doubt in my mind... Yeah, they're going down.
Another team that I think is...
So Cardiff has done nothing.
Yeah.
They have brought in really nobody. And they were not... I mean, they were a good championship side, but they just do not have the players.
No. Look, as much as I love Vincent Tan...
We all do.
Yeah.
Who doesn't? Whom amongst us? We're watching his other team right now play.
Yeah. That's true. We are. LAFC, a little replay going on right now. But, as much as I love Vincent Tan, he's clearly not pouring the investment in that the team needs at this point.
No.
You could totally see him just pocketing all the Premier League money this year, just going back down with it, couldn't you? Okay, throw this out to the shareholders, of which I am all of them.
Spend it all on mustache wax.
Or additional leather gloves.
That works,
too. Could be any of the above. So we both got Cardiff City in the ranks. Who else do you have in your bottom three?
Huddersfield had a good season last year. I just don't see them duplicating this.
Yep. Got them in there as well.
Okay. All right.
This is getting ridiculous. We're down to one more team here, by the way.
I feel good about this one because I'm actually, I'm not 100% sure on this one. I just feel like this is a team that's came up a couple years ago, played fairly well, but I just think the magic's about ready to wear out on them.
Uh-huh.
And that's Watford.
Oh, God damn it.
Seriously. No way.
Yes, I have Watford as well. This is ridiculous. This is a first.
This is the worst.
This is the first, by the way.
All right.
In 6 years, We've never picked the exact same seven teams for these two questions.
I'm really worried about what the sack race and golden boots are going to look like.
I'm also a little worried about that now. Are we just making obvious choices? Are we now making safer picks?
Maybe we're all. I mean, we're
smarting and learning.
These are the conservative picks, I think, in a way. This seems the most likely, right?
Yeah.
Just on paper, this is the
Maybe in years past, I've really thrown caution to the wind and said, hey, screw it. It doesn't really matter how I get these things wrong here. But I think you're right. Huddersfield and Watford both seem like teams that just have stayed around a little bit longer than they were probably meant to.
Yeah. Okay. Sack race.
Sack race.
You go.
I have a feeling. I have a feeling.
It's going to be.
Javi Garcia, Watford?
No.
All right. Sweet. Differences.
No. Differences. I had to go with the one manager that I always have to take a dump on if I have the opportunity to. All right. And that's Neil Warnock.
Okay. Well, I'm always happy for that to happen.
Neil Warnock is the Cardiff manager.
Yeah.
And I think I even can tell you when it's going to happen.
Okay.
He has a three-game stretch to start September where they play Arsenal, Chelsea, and City in a row.
Ooh, man.
They're not going to survive that.
Probably not going to unpack the bags.
No.
He's also a manager that's had...
100 jobs.
100 jobs and 100 firings to go along with it. So I totally could see Warnock getting it there, too. Garcia is in the unenviable position of taking over for a manager who was well-liked and had done good things with Watford. And now he comes in. This is his first year in charge of the actual team instead of just taking over someone else's team. And it may or may not be a fruitful process for him.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah. I'm just glad we have something different.
Something different. I think we'll get some other ones.
Golden
boot. Or do you want to stay on the managerial side?
Okay. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
Manager of the year.
All right.
I went Jurgen Klopp.
Jurgen Klopp. I mean, it's just, this is getting a little creepy.
Like, I think he's just going to have that year where they're not going to win the title. I think they're going to push City to the brink, hopefully, because we need that. We just need a good, we need a good title.
We can't let them have the title wrapped up by December.
Yeah. And I think it's just going to be the year where he just fully puts on the Klopp charm. And just all the media writers and everybody that all the pundits and everybody that actually has votes in these kind of things, will just be completely swayed to the Klopp magic.
Oh, I mean, look, his magic is hard to resist. But I do think
I succumbed to it years ago.
But if he can get all these guys that they brought in working under the same umbrella, moving in the same direction, and they make a late push, hold on, make City fight for it, I think it's enough. This year of all years.
Golden boot, our final prediction, and I have deep fears that we've picked the same person.
Is it going to be Harry Kane again?
Yeah.
God, I mean, I
pick Harry Kane. This is the one year I'm not going to doubt him, because I've always doubted him.
He, of course, fell just short last year of retaining his Golden Boot crown from the season before, finishing, two or three goals behind Mo Salah.
Yeah, he had 30, Salah had 32, I think it was.
Yeah, I mean, a decent return for both of them, obviously. If there's one player that could see the World Cup impact it this year, it's Harry Kane, but Kane just has this engine. I'm more concerned about him getting hurt.
He's got that nose. He's able to breathe all that oxygen.
And it's also because he always has the gaping mouth as
well. He is sucking in oxygen at a rate that most humans just don't do.
No, just perfectly designed skull for that type of thing. Well, Harry Kane ending up in both our positions for Golden Boot. That means that all but, one of our picks so far have worked out to be not the same thing.
Yeah.
Great.
Awesome. Let's go to our bold predictions, where hopefully things are a little more diverse.
Okay.
I'm going to go bold prediction number one. Fulham gets a European spot.
Whew. Man.
They've been here before. That's them 6th or 7th.
If you recall, the last time they made it to Europe, They were in the Europa League and made it all the way to the final. Clint Dempsey scoring an absolute worldie in that process. But yeah, I think that is an awfully bold prediction. I'm going to stay with, even despite the fact that I think they're going to finish second, I'm going to stay in the Liverpool side of things. Mo Salah is going to score less than 15 goals this year.
Oh, wow.
I think that's a real dip. I think it's a real dip. I think he's going to have a productive year, but I think defenses are going to have learned a little bit from him. You know, this is a very
There's plenty of tape on him now.
Yeah. And he's had a physically demanding year that he's had to live through, and it's obviously not gone well for him over the summer. So I think this is the year that he's just not necessarily going to put it all together. And Liverpool fans might be a little bit worse for wear if that ends up happening.
I am actually going to go back to the well on my next bold prediction.
Okay.
And say, once again, David Moyes will find himself with a job at some point this season. This is my prediction last year, and it actually came true.
It did come true.
And I think it's going to happen again.
Yeah, he is, of course, no longer at West Ham after he turned up there, what, in the new year? Very short-lived. Made an exit soon after the regular season was done. West Ham are a complete trash fire. Keep that in mind. They have ownership meddle in their affairs and the first team constantly.
I mean, it's not like that didn't, like, it never boiled over or anything like last season where there was like a, you know, the owner had to be evacuated and the pitch got flooded with angry fans or anything, right? I mean, that didn't happen.
I don't know, but at the same time, it's a short road to that type of position. So, we're going to have to wait and see how that one pans out.
So, yeah, I'm predicting another Premier League job for Gil from The Simpsons.
Gil from The Simpsons. A very good like-for-like there. Other bold predictions that we can look forward to this year, at least in my opinion. I think there's a really good chance, and I don't know how bold this actually is, but I just have a feeling that Everton, like, maybe things will click for them this year. They'll be able to get
an Everton resurgence.
130 center midfielders on the pitch at the same time, and maybe that'll just be enough to change things. But I think they're due for a little bit of a rise up, and I think much like you were talking about Fulham getting a European place, I think Everton, like, this is the year they can hang on to it.
My third and final bold prediction.
Okay.
A traditional powerhouse, be it United, be it probably Chelsea, will spend at least a 2-match-day stint in the relegation zone.
Ooh. Which one do you think that's going to be?
It's going to be Chelsea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of hope for the Blues at the moment right now.
There's just so many, and I think I've said this before, but it is to a degree that I'm not aware of ever happening.
Sure.
Since I've been a fan, the uncertainty and the question marks of exactly what we're doing, what we are, who fits into this, who's staying around, what we're even searching after as far as kind of player.
Sure.
I have no idea.
There's definitely not been a plan they've been operating under until Sarri gets here.
So there's Sarri ball.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to take shape. But, like, when? And that was kind of the question I threw out at Chelsea. Like, Sarri ball, when does it actually kind of, like, hit its stride?
Yeah.
Or does it ever?
We will never know.
So those are mine. What's your final? Do you have one last bold prediction?
Yeah, I think my last bold prediction is Spurs are going to have to play potentially a game either away from Wembley, or excuse me, from their new home this season, or they're going to have to get a forced exception for playing on the turf that lives below their grass pitch because of a malfunction with the moving turf. I feel like something's going to go wrong with this, especially in the first year. But if you're not aware, Spurs have this completely innovative pitch system because they're now the home of NFL in Europe for the next 10 years.
Got that Chargers game coming up. I mean, that's just around the corner, right?
It's literally going to be happening way sooner than anyone would want. But They have this turf pitch that lives below the actual grass pitch, and the grass pitch can slide under the stands to allow for, you know, the turf pitch to be used. I just have a feeling like one's going to get stuck, and they're going to have to play it on turf.
Should it not be the other way around? Should the turf pitch that's only used like three times
be the
one that slides on in?
The reason why I've heard it explained that Spurs chose to put the turf pitch lower is due to sight lines in okay. NFL stadiums versus professional soccer stadiums. NFL sidelines tend to be, or the front row in NFL tend to be about 10 feet above the ground. So that way you can see all over all the players that are down at pitch level.
Sure.
Field level, excuse me, that then you can kind of get a little bit of a view of what's happening in that space. Soccer works completely differently. You want to be closer, literally as close to the field as you possibly can be. So they built the grass pitch to live on top so that it stayed closer to the soccer environment, whereas the NFL field that exists below it only turns up for those reasons. But I just have a feeling it's going to get jammed up or something, and they're going to have to play a game on turf, which is going to cause the best type of drama.
Before we get to our listeners' bold predictions, let's go through. There's a couple other – two other clubs we got to kind of just run through real quickly because they're clubs that people follow and people care about.
Yeah.
Now, we're not going to talk about Sunderland because they're no longer – they're barely in professional football at this
point. Yeah, just hanging on by a thread.
They scooped up Wickham's like best player.
Feeling brutal about that right now?
Pretty bummed about it.
Ready to send death threats almost?
We're almost there. I mean, I'm happy for the player, but yeah, we're screwed.
Yeah.
We're going down.
You'll have that.
Arsenal.
Wenger new manager? No, yeah. No more Wenger?
That's
weird. That's genuinely weird.
I think it's gonna hit us here. Like it's gonna set in, and then like that first match that you watch of Arsenal, and you're like, hey, wait, like that whole angst doesn't exist anymore. Like,
yeah,
the Wenger out angst that has been around that club for the past four seasons is gone.
Yeah, it's not an excuse they can lean on any further as well. You know, their fans have enjoyed its use and have maybe overused it at times to just put themselves in positions where that could actually be the case. So, yeah.
Unai Emery takes over.
Mm-hmm.
How long will it take him to make Arsenal his club as far as it playing the type of football he wants to play and it having the type of players he wants in it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it going to be a while? Are we even going to see that this season here in season one?
Look, I don't watch enough Italian football to say one way or another. I do know that he's a very systematic type of manager and has had success with that. You look at someone like maybe Hamsik that's just been prolific under that system for so long. Maybe that would be appealing, but... I don't know. I don't know how easily it's all going to translate.
Okay. Everton.
Mm-hmm.
Everton's the other club we want to hit on real quickly.
Conveniently leaving out your boys, huh?
We already got to Chelsea.
We worked him in.
Sorry, Ball. It's going to be a disaster.
Yeah.
Or it's going to be awesome, but if it's awesome, it won't be awesome enough quick enough
for
it to matter. Everton, how does Everton regroup and recover from the massive letdown that was last season? I mean, last season, they spent crazy money. They were on the heels of having some really successful seasons.
Mm-hmm.
They had a manager that they thought was the answer. And they thought that they were kind of taking that next step up as far as where they were in the Premier League world.
Mm-hmm.
And then it didn't happen. They completely floundered. Their guys they spend money on, a lot of them just were complete flops.
Mm-hmm.
How do you rebound from that?
It's tough. I mean, it's almost a cultural thing, right? Where you get into a habit of getting those types of players in, they're not effective, you build a situation where your fans don't think that anything you do is ultimately going to be productive for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Everton fans at the end of last season seemed like they'd given up hope. I'm shocked at this point that Everton haven't sold more, mm-hmm. given the amount they spent last year and how little didn't work out.
Like that Klassen guy, like they got rid of him.
Yeah, Tosin was another one they brought in January. He's gone as well. That's a lot of churn and burn. And maybe it would do well for them to have a smaller squad and work on.
Who is even playing up top for this side?
I don't know.
Because they just loaned out Morales, like, yesterday to Fiorentina.
Yeah.
No idea what this club's doing.
No. But they now have a decent manager at the helm, one that they've wanted for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He seems like a guy who could be up for the task, and he's good at getting more out of teams than what they're performing already. But this is a tall order that he's going to have to go through.
All right, let's get to some of the bullet predictions that we had come across the Twitter wires from some of our listeners.
Yeah. So I've got an easy one here from your former fill-in co-host, Adam Maloney. Saw him just last night.
Uh-huh.
He offered up at this point, picking the field against City seems pretty bold.
Yeah, I would say so.
And anyone aside from City. Lifting the title seems pretty unlikely at this point. Daniel Crawford, he wrote out, Rafa quits January transfer window because Mike Ashley won't buy any new players. I don't know that this is bold so much as that we're all just, like, the timing of it will be bold because we've all been expecting it forever.
Okay, yeah.
Our good friend Gage McGodo.
Yeah, got to hang out with him.
You saw Gage this weekend.
So did your wife.
Yeah. I did not.
You were working.
I DM'd with Gage to get him in there. But he offered up Newcastle are going to lock down a Europa League spot. So it could be competing with your Fulham prediction there.
Okay.
West Ham are going down. Manuel Pellegrini's West Ham going down, huh? Wolves are also going to make some noise. Wolves have made some decent signings here this summer. So all those are, while bold, I think one is a little bit less bold than the others.
Sure.
Probably even likely to happen. Any that you had?
I got one from my buddy Alex Ward. He said Rafa leaves Newcastle and they also get relegated.
Okay.
He is a Newcastle supporter and that's his prediction.
That is a fan base that's really divided at the moment in that respect. Photographer Joe Craven. Someone you're familiar with as well. I believe in Fulham. That's his bold prediction. Looks like he might even have them penciled in for a dark horse as well, as much as both of us did. You look at left sharking like a wrecking ball. Swansea will win automatic promotion. So that's different league, but we'll let that pass. They've already gone down.
Sure, yeah.
Promotion back to the Premier League.
They won their first week. So
and Arsenal will finish above Chelsea.
Yeah, I think I have that.
Okay.
Sadly.
Yeah.
It disgusts me, but it happens.
It happens to the best of us. And then our good buddy Jason Ridge, he offered up Chelsea finished 10th again.
I don't know. If it's again, is it that bold?
A couple little slaps for you.
It is what it is. Jeff Tebbett, he says, Sunderland is promoted back to the championship.
Okay.
So remember, Sunderland playing in League One right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then our buddy Nick Suberling, Mourinho lasts the whole season.
Ooh, that is bold.
It is bold. So he's saying that Mourinho is going to survive this whole thing. I saw there was another person putting in that Rafa quits. He's saying that he'll leave because Mike Ashley won't let him buy any players in January, so he'll just walk out on the job.
Yeah, I mean
that seems entirely
plausible. So thanks to all of you for sharing your bold predictions for this season. We'll check back at the end of the year to see how many of those actually panned out. That, of course, though, leads us to our last segment, the way we've ended things for the last few years here. Winners and Wankers is back again for 2018-2019. Jeremy, can you give me your winner?
My winner, it's It's a cheap one, but I'm going for it. Super Frank, 1-0 as a manager.
Ooh.
In the championship.
A perfect record as manager. Yeah.
And the best part is, so he got Mason Mount on loan from Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
Mason Mount, by the way, dubbed by many as the next Frank Lampard. And the kid goes out and scores a goal. The first goal of Frank Lampard's managerial career is scored by the kid that is dubbed the next Frank Lampard. I found that quite poetic.
Which means he's not going to pan out at
no,
all.
No, he'll be a flop. Yeah,
that's how these things work.
Bummer.
All right, I will share my winner now. I'm giving it to AS Roma. They played Barcelona at the end of last week in Dallas at AT&T's stadium.
That's the
Cowboys kajillion dollar.
Yeah, the Jerry Jones Dome.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry World.
Gorgeous building, to be fair.
Dallas Palace.
But they had an ICC match there against Barcelona. Roma opted not to see or list... I have like a burp that's literally like
just hanging
right here. Roma opted not to list Malcolm, the Brazilian player that they had spent a lot of time trying to sign and literally thought the deal was done on.
But they had announced it.
They'd announced it before he made the switch over to Barcelona. Somehow that was approved. But they literally removed his name from Barcelona's graphic for their starting 11. Like, there's a blank spot. It lists 11 players and, like, all but the last two.
You don't have to be a Italian football fan or a Roma fan.
Mm-hmm.
Follow their English account.
Oh,
whoever runs it
it's fabulous.
Phenomenal.
Like, honestly, and this is speaking as someone who works in soccer social media, it is hands down the best account. They sometimes tweet things. Remember over the summer when they were doing the musician tweets? They were doing like album covers with like Roma jerseys on the people on the covers instead. No explanation at all as to why they did it. They just decided to do it. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
I think I retweeted one. I was like, I have no idea what's happening here, but I love it.
But I love it. It's fantastic. I loved the pettiness of that tweet. deserved penniness at that, but not many teams would take it to that level, and I'm kind of happy to see that they did. What about your wanker?
My wanker, West Brom. I actually almost thought about making this my winner because it is almost too ridiculous to where it's now just actually awesome and funny.
Sure.
They unveiled a new mascot. I think it's
this.
Part of a sponsorship thing.
Yeah.
It's a water boiler. It's a boiler. It's just like a rectangle boiler that you would have like – I know. Okay. So
– Oh, yeah.
The boiler things over there are like – look more, I don't know, rectangular.
Yeah.
I think most people here in America think water boiler. They think like this giant cylinder.
Yeah, yeah.
That's in their basement.
Yeah. It's more compact space.
Yeah.
And it actually heats very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to a traditional water heater as we have here in the U.S.
But yeah, it was just a guy dressed up as a boiler walking around.
Why not?
Why not? I mean, hey, we just got relegated. Why not a boiler?
Put him in goal with sprinkles.
Is he going to deny a kid on Father's Day?
Probably.
Okay.
My wanker, I'm giving it to a serial wanker nominee here, Sepp Blatter. Probably saw the news today. Sepp Blatter getting back in on the wanker business. He who was banned from all soccer activities until he showed up at a game in Russia because of Vladimir Putin. Serial wanker Sepp Blatter makes it this week again for admitting that Qatar bribed their way to the 2022 World Cup hosting in his brand new book. One where he defends his actions over the course of the last few years.
So he just blame shifts to like, oh yeah, this totally happened, but it wasn't me.
And I have a problem with this not only for that, but also because, one, it's not like we didn't already know this, right? Like, everyone knows that's what's happening with Qatar. It's not like this is news. Of course, a former FIFA official saying that will be treated as such.
Former FIFA president who went on record multiple times and said, hey, yeah, no, this is fine. We're not changing it. Nothing's going to change this.
Yeah. And B, waiting this long to fucking say anything about it Well, if you really were trying to do anything, you would have said something about it when it was happening. And then three, only reason he's even doing any of this is so he can turn a buck.
Right.
Like, this is in a book. Like, yeah, it serves some PR purposes, but he'd be better off to serve.
Wouldn't it be something if we
earlier point.
You wandered into the local Barnes & Noble and they're like, hey, and they have like a little sign up like, next Thursday at 2 p.m., come get Seth Blatter's new book and get it signed by the author in person. Yeah.
He totally seems like the type of guy to do that. Unfortunately, he's under investigation in so many places.
He's never going to come to America.
He's never going to leave Switzerland again unless it's to go back to visit old Vlad in Russia. So, yeah.
You excited?
Yeah, I'm excited.
So Friday is going to be like a match, and yeah. That'll be good. I'm gonna like it way more than I've ever liked it.
Yeah, but I hate that it's on Friday. Not the first. Let's not do this the first weekend of the year.
I like it because I can
watch. Skip out on game. Work. Yeah, maybe we'll see if we can work our way out to do that one together.
Yeah, I'm free.
All right. We'll see what we can make.
I'll make myself available.
For those of you who have tuned in, once again, thanks. We're glad to have you back for year six. We'll be doing this weekly, as always. If you want to get a hold of us, get involved in the show in some capacity, there are ways to do that. Very few of you do it, but we want you to. Reach out to Jeremy at Jeremy Lance on Twitter. I'm at Wrong Side of Pond on Twitter. You can also get us via email, contact@wrongsideofthepond.com. We will be happy to answer emails. And when I say we, it's me. It's too much for editing and answering emails. We just don't put you in that position.
I have horrible news. I won't actually be able to watch the matches on Saturday, this coming Saturday.
Wow, that's terrible news.
Yeah, I got to run. I'm running a 7v7 tournament at Moffrey.
You can't see the face that Jeremy is making right now, but the realization of that fact did spread across his face before he said it, and I was over here wondering, what has he seen that is making that
There was actually happen? A moment last week in the office where myself and two of my coworkers, we all realized at the same moment, did we just schedule this tournament the morning
of the opening
opening of the Premier League?
Yes.
And we were all just thoroughly disgusted in ourselves that we had done that.
How have we done this?
How? I mean, at least I'll be... Hey, silver lining? Guess who's going to be in the house for Justin Merrim's return?
This guy?
This guy right here.
All right. Sure, he'll be busting out the old number 9 jersey out.
Got it.
That's right. Well, thanks for listening in, folks. Episode 1 of Season 6 in the books. There's like another 40 of these things coming at you. So,
buckle up.
It'll be fun. Talk to you soon.
Bye.